Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Sujit DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Azure Podcast. Today is August 19th, and we are here to talk about virtual WAN. We've got Sujit here, Kendall's here, Cynthia's here, and our special guest, Reshmi Yannapalli, is here from the Azure networking team. So, Kendall, I hear there's a whole bunch of Kubernetes announcements, since that is your favorite place to play.
Oh man, okay, I'll take it. There's actually a few different updates. One of them's related to Kubernetes, but have a couple of public previews that I want to call out. So one of them is actually PowerShell support for durable functions being in public preview. So this is actually one that I shot over to a customer this morning when I saw that, because I know PowerShell's been supported in in functions, but having that in durable functions now, you can think about, you know, some people may want to take that code-first approach to more workflow-oriented, processes. So I think that that'll really help, because a lot of PowerShell users are really excited about that being available in Azure Functions and now in durable functions. So it's a good offering there. And then a second one is the serverless offering for Azure Cosmos DB. So basically getting charged in that more consumption model based on the RUs, if you don't have as much of a steady throughput that you're seeing. So that's going to work a lot better for small to medium workloads there. And then last but not least is the CSI storage driver for AKS, so the container storage interface. And basically that's going to make it a bit easier for AKS users to natively leverage things like Azure Files and Azure Disks. So this is going to be a big win from a storage perspective inside of Kubernetes. So those were three public previews that I wanted to just bring some attention to.
Yeah, that's cool. So the CSI driver, so basically that's sort of going to act like the networking stack that we put in, you know, that's in Kubernetes, where it sort of just makes it easier to leverage these things, and it sort of shows up as native support versus sort of having to hack something in, right?
Yeah, so it's like you can basically use these kind of plugins that are exposing the storage systems in Kubernetes without having to actually go into core Kubernetes code and actually make sure that storage driver can be leveraged. So should be good. Should make it a bit easier to use some of these Azure storage options out of the box.
Okay, cool. Sujit, Cynthia, anything you want to call out?
Yeah, Cynthia, you have something. Go ahead.
I do. There is the Azure Data Share in for Azure Data Explorer is now.
Yeah, I have a couple over here. One of them, I'm surprised Kendall didn't bring this up, but KubeCon Europe 2020 is underway or soon to be underway. And Brendan Burns, he put out a blog post on how Kubernetes is being used or can be used to build resilient applications, right? Taking into account things like latency, operational efficiencies, and of course, making sure it's secure by design. So he's got a nice blog post out there. I'm gonna kind of put a link to that in the show notes. And then one more, Evan, this might be more in your area, but this is about how we manage outage communications, right? I think Mark Rosinovich has put a post out there, and then Sami Kuba has kind of outlined what we're doing to improve transparency, improve the speed at which we inform users about outages. And outages are unfortunate in this day and age, and they do happen in Azure, as we all know. And so there's a lot of things that we're doing just to kind of, you know, improve the way that we inform users about the outage, how they can find out about the outage early on, things like that. So we'll have a link to that as well.
Yeah, and actually, Sammy's actually on my team, and man, we're just, his ego is going to grow here. the article is really good. We may actually have to look at getting Sammy to come in to sort of talk through it, because the philosophy, right, that we have is really, we're trying to be as transparent as possible, right? And so there's always this balancing act. But yeah, it's definitely a really good blog. I definitely do recommend people check it out. You know, but don't, if anybody sees it, don't tell Sammy you read it. We don't want to follow up any more than he is at this point. We've been giving him grief in the team meetings. So, okay. Anybody else have any other news they want to hit?
I was just going to add one thing. So I don't know if I told y'all, but I've been kind of working on the release team for the upstream Kubernetes 1.19 release, which has actually been really cool. You just get a lot of exposure to how the open source projects are run and how they operate and things like that. And so, I know with the KubeCon update that Sajid gave, that just came to mind. So it's really, really neat. So if you're interested in kind of helping with an upstream project like that, you know, be it one that's adopted in Azure, or otherwise, you can actually shadow those teams. So that's kind of what I'm doing this release. So whenever they put those out, usually it's on Twitter, you can see that they have the one, you know, they'll have like 1.20 Kubernetes release team shadow application. So yeah, I recommend people look into that if you're interested in kind of seeing how the sausage is made per se. It's a pretty neat opportunity. So
yeah, that's cool.
Nice.
At this point, why don't we, like I said, we've got, you know, Reshmi on to talk about the virtual LAN. So Reshmi, if you could introduce yourself and share what you do here at Microsoft.
Hi there. My name is Reshmi Yondapalli. I am the principal product manager for Azure Virtual LAN.
Great. And so that leads to the, you know, you and I have sort of been around this, you know, hanging around each other for a long time now, but I think this is the first time we've had you on. You know, what is a VWAN? Why as a customer, why would I care? I've got, you know, like I have a WAN. Why do I need a VWAN?
Great question. Well, the one liner for VWAN is it's virtual WAN is a unified framework for connecting security to Azure Firewall and Firewall Manager and routing. It's basically a SASE that brings together multiple elements to give you ease of use in connecting, ease of use in securing, and ease of use in routing, and basically managing your WAN.
So if I kind of take that, so today when customers, you know, managing your WAN is not necessarily easy, right? When you're trying to integrate your on-premises network with your Azure network, right? This is a real challenge. It sounds like the value proposition for VWAN is that it makes managing this easier to do. Is this done with integrating, you know, different solutions, or you know, like firewall is its own product, so it's sort of independently. So help me understand, like, as a customer, when would I want to go look at VWAN versus just Azure Firewall, maybe?
And also, Evan, also before that, can we step back and just get a clarification on what WAN means in the Azure space? Okay, like I know there's Express Route and there's VLANs and whatnot. So please help me understand how do you define a WAN when it comes to Azure?
I see. Well, WAN is a wide area network, right? So it's bringing multiple endpoints, and the whole instrumentation of connecting, routing, securing, all of these coming together. That's the whole concept of WAN. Now, you know, when it was just on-premise, you know, you had the traditional routers, the switches, you had some firewalls to secure your traffic, you know, and there were certain basically ways to be able to manage your WAN. But when the workloads from on-premises started showing up in cloud, and as more and more customers started adopting the cloud, they started to see that there is this hybrid network that's coming together. And Ivan's right. Basically, when you are in the cloud, you have all these pieces. You have the firewall, you have the express routes, you have VPN. They are all a product line in themselves. And there's so many things you can do together. But when you have so many choices, it becomes hard after a point where to be able to bring all this together. So you may be actually having teams and armies of people just managing all of that. So with Virtual LAN, what we do is we basically take all these Lego pieces and we kind of stitch it up in a very easy way so that the user can focus on running their business as opposed to figuring out, I have my tunnel and why is my tunnel not up? What is the algorithm that I should be setting up for this tunnel? You know, things like that. So it's taking it one level up. It's still giving you the capabilities if you needed to go that route, but it kind of brings everything together. To simply put it, let's say if a customer had they just wanted to do, you know, they had a site and they just wanted to connect to Azure. They can go and set up a Azure VPN gateway and connect to it. If they wanted to secure their traffic in Azure, they can do that with Azure Firewall. Then let's say they wanted private connectivity, they would have ExpressRoute. But what if they wanted to stitch things together? What if they wanted the ExpressRoute site to be able to talk to a site-to-site endpoint? Or if they, you know, during COVID times, you had all these remote users that suddenly were told that stay home and work from home, but they all had to access their resources in their corporate offices, which may be behind an ExpressRoute network, or maybe in another regional office, which may be behind a site-to-site network. So this transit connectivity, without having to do any kind of heavy-duty routing or security or any kind of network planning, that just happened overnight. Like, we have multiple customers that just switched on overnight because that transit capability happened. And then you have scenarios where customers wanted internet breakout. They wanted any kind of branch to internet or VNet to internet, and as I call it, the Azure as the internet edge capabilities. And they didn't want to go and set up another network and do all that. So they could just easily put in an Azure firewall in the virtual WAN hubs. It's basically a hub and a spoke topology. And you can just put in Azure firewall hub, set up the policies, and you're good to go. You know, that whole system or the backbone of hub and spoke, of the hubs being fully meshed and connected. You know, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to set up any of the routing. You don't have to set up any of the meshing. You don't have to do anything. All you do is you create the WAN. When you create the hubs are all fully meshed and they all automatically connect. There's a router in there. It's built in for you. It manages all the routes. Your transit connectivity kicks in. You can do branch to branch. You can go across ExpressRoute VPN. You can go across regions. So if you had offices in Australia, let's say, and if you have offices in the US and in UK, how do you bring all these zones together? All you do is you turn up in virtual WAN and you have these hubs and you connect into those hubs. You know, all those teams know. And magically, all of these connectivity crisscross spokes, they happen. So this is like the beauty of simplification. And in terms of some of the other capabilities and what Ivan was asking earlier, you know, these when you're connecting in, obviously, I'm oversimplifying it, but every device out there is different. They all have their proprietary information. What virtual WAN does with some of these devices out there that are SD-WAN and VPN devices for site-to-site connectivities is it gives you an automation framework to be able to bring in these devices. So you can do it yourself if you want to go set up an IPsec connectivity and do all that. But we have about 15 plus partners that have automated that connectivity. So no one needs to think about what's an IQv1, IQv2, what is this protocol, that protocol. You know, all you have to do is just click a button there and say, okay, I have 100 branches. They all need to connect to Azure. And you come in virtual WAN and you see those branches popping up. And then you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to connect these 50 branches to US and I'm going to connect these 50 branches to my Asian hub. And I want all my users to be able to connect to each other and talk to each other and access every kind of resource in different parts of the planet. And you can do all of that in 30 minutes in Azure Virtual WAN.
So I have a question there. I know Evan's talking, but he's on mute, so I'm stealing his thunder. So like, I'm going to be honest, it's a bit over my head. It sounds really awesome, but it does kind of sound like the, you know, the beast to end all beast when it comes to networking. Like, hey, I want to connect this to any, you know, here to there. So it sounds like it would be really useful, you know, if you need that kind of crazy networking and connectivity. But I guess at the same time, you're kind of saying everything can connect to everything. So then that thought is like, well, what if you have one particular, you know, office that shouldn't be able to access, or you have certain policies per branch, but you don't want to restrict all the traffic. Like, how do you start, I guess, you know, once you open all of that connectivity up, how do you then, you know, maybe say, but there are a few scenarios that I don't, you know, because it just seems, and maybe I'm misunderstanding it, but that's just a, you know, somebody who's just now hearing about this for the first time. My thought is like, you don't want to lock down so much, but at the same time, you have all these lockdown things that you want to connect. How do you, I guess, not go too extreme on either side? Does that make sense?
Right. You know, that's a great question, actually. So the beauty about virtual WAN is it's giving you these ease of use in bringing things together in the cloud. So if you're coming into the cloud, you kind of bring in these things and you are able to orchestrate and provision it easily. But you also get to keep the ease of use or whatever your networking framework is at the branch on-prem. You know, we don't get involved in that. What is happening at the branch is the branch's business. So if branch needed to have some policies where it was isolated from virtual WAN, that's absolutely okay. We recently released custom routing capabilities in virtual WAN, which basically provide policies for routing where you can steer traffic across VNets in a different way or to on-premise. And when I say branches, it's any kind of branch. It can be an express route, VPN, or remote user endpoint. But basically, these custom routing capabilities, they provide an additional layer of policies that you can do for VNets that's in the Azure space. But in terms of branches, you know, you get to keep the best at the branch, and you also get to kind of take the ease of use in managing your cloud network.
So I'm curious, because we keep talking about different sort of hybrid connections. Is virtual WAN really to address a hybrid situation, or is that also something we can take advantage of in a situation where we're completely on the cloud?
Ah, I see. Yes. So, you know, there was some blog out there. I forget who wrote it, but it was about it's for everyone. So basically, if you had a hybrid network, that means you have something in the cloud and you have something outside the cloud. And maybe you had another cloud and you wanted to connect the clouds. Or maybe you just had a cloud-only deployment, and that wouldn't be hybrid, but maybe you have hybrid services inside the cloud framework. So virtual WAN kind of, you can use it for any of those use cases. If you had on-premise non-workloads and you needed to get to the cloud, it kind of gives you a nice framework for that. If you had just workloads in Azure, in VNets, you can also connect those up because we provide the transit connectivity and the custom routing and all of these capabilities. So whatever you can do in the cloud, you can do it, but just more easily. And then if you had a multi-cloud framework, Virtual WAN gives you the capabilities to connect via IPsec. There is a capability called APIPA, Custom BGP Framework, which lets you set up these IPsec tunnels between different cloud systems. So you can do that as well. So it kind of caters to your hybrid connectivity between on-prem and cloud, within the cloud, if it had to be 100% cloud, and also multi-cloud. So it kind of takes care of all the three dimensions.
So I think you've said it a couple of times, Reshmi, and I just want to make sure that I'm following this, because what this sounds like is, and I think when you and I first met, you know, VPN was a, you know, Azure VPN was a new thing. And to this day, that's actually one of the biggest areas where our customers have challenges, not necessarily because the product's not stable or good, but just trying to do that integration between the on-premises third-party products and Azure has always just been tough to get the settings right. Right. And it sounds like what you're describing when you talk about these hybrid and auto building this automation framework to configure these, the goal is really to take all of that, you know, pain and stress and frustration away. And the customers can say, hey, I want this site to connect up to, you know, this virtual network or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And VWAN just sort of handles all the automation to make all the settings match where they need to match. And it takes into account, oh, you're using device, you know, XYZ, so we can figure it this way. It's device, you know, ABC, we can figure it the other way. Is that the right way to think about this? I can sort of remove all that complexity while getting the benefit of the connectivity that I want?
Yeah. And that's just one knob in VWAN, right? Like there is this one aspect of VWAN, which is the automation with our partners with on-premise devices. And these devices can be VPN devices, SD-WAN devices. This can be any device that supports IPsec, basically. Sure. So it's one aspect of thinking like that. But once connectivity comes in, that's when the complexity starts as well. You know, what if you had a bunch of users that were using a certain kind of device, and you just acquired a company that had a different device networking framework? What if you wanted to mix and match? Or what if you wanted them to be able to interconnect? And what if you wanted to be able to access your Azure resources, but you didn't want to stand up a resource in a different region? You just wanted to use the Azure backplane or the Azure backbone to be able to get across. So there's a lot of these capabilities, like a solution that's bringing a lot of pain points simplified together
in an easy way. Makes sense.
Right.
So now I'll be the person that asks, is there like a really nice flowchart that's like, if you need this, use this service. If you need this, you can go with Firewall. But if you need this, you can go with VWAN. Like, is there a good way for customers to be able to evaluate if this is a good fit for them? I mean, I'm sure looking through the documentation is one, or having a need and then looking for that. But I just, you know, I know with compute options, we have sort of things that walk you through that thought process. So just curious if y'all have created something like that.
No, we actually, the flowchart that you're mentioning, it's basically if yes or if no, right? It's basically more about what exactly is your scenario. So it's really about if you just want an Express Route, if you just want a VPN, or if you just want to use a VPN, you can use VWAN, virtual WAN, VWAN as we call it. Or if you just wanted like to layer it up, you know, you wanted encryption and you wanted the VNets to be easily connected and transitively connecting. Or if you want a fully meshed hubs, you can do that too. So there's a bunch of capabilities that's like, it's like stack ranked. It's like all one on top of each other. So you can start from bare bones and you can just build it up, or you can just stay at bare bones. That's absolutely okay. So it's not really if you did this or if you did that, but it's more about what kind of capabilities you need. And we have ample documentation around it. We have sections around what the overview is and then architectures, and if there are any contexts or how-tos that you're looking for concept-wise, that's also in there. So we, all of that is in the Azure Virtual WAN documentation page.
And Rashmi, so I like the way that you said that, oh, you know, within 30 minutes, you can turn on your entire VWAN. I mean, on one end, that also scares me because, you know, there's a single mistake in that thing. That's the end of our business. So is there like some sort of a, I don't know, like a dry run or some kind of way to validate that? I guess you have to define your WAN in some sort of a YAML or some sort of a markup language. Is there some way to validate that hey, this is not going to break the system before, you know, you deploy it, for example?
Yeah. Right. This is, I mean, typically for very big networks, it's, you know, no one's going to do this in 30 minutes, right? But like if I were wanting to see how this works, and I just had a device that I know is a supported device, and I had a VNet and I had to set it up. The gateways, they take about 22, 23 minutes. But other than that, pretty much it's just a click-through experience that you bring it together. So you can actually go and check it out and try to put something together and see how it works. But typically when this happens at scale for a huge enterprise, you know, there's architects, there's field teams, there's so many network designing sessions that happen. And then they start with a, you know, a phase one, and then they're like, oh, okay, we can take this out and we can streamline this and that. Okay. And then it looks like a simplified topology that they actually go and act on. And then typically because of regional offices, you know, there's some coordination involved, right? Like the US team will need to talk to the Australian team or some other geo team. And so it's not necessarily always like coming up, like the execution doesn't happen in 30 minutes. The execution usually takes time because of all this planning effort that goes into it. But if somebody just wanted to go run an ARM script that brings all these pieces together and see how it works, they can do that. If they just went into the Azure portal today and just started firing up hubs and just seeing how to connect to VNets and just go about, you know, just get a taste of every feature, it's pretty self-explanatory. You just have to just click through and go about it. And that's absolutely possible too.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, thanks sort of for the overview, Rashmi. This makes a lot more, I'll have to confess, even as someone who knows this world pretty well, I was a little bit fuzzy on exactly you know, what virtual WAN would sort of provide. So this makes a lot of sense. Any other last thoughts that you want to leave the audience with?
So we announced a key feature this July. It was the virtual appliances are now deployable in the Azure Virtual WAN hubs. It's not just Azure first party services, it's also third party. So Barracuda is the first one, and we have a few more coming. So look forward to an announcement at Ignite in September. And, you know, I just don't want to give out the
Darn, it was worth a shot. Yeah, actually, and we'll give a shout out to Barracuda. Barracuda is actually coming on the show in a couple of weeks. And I suspect they're going to be equally excited about sort of this integration, yes. You know, from that side. So, no, this is great. Thank you very much. Everybody else, thanks for the time. And we will talk to everybody next week. Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Rashmi.
Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.